What is a word that begins with S that will be used often this day? If you know it, just shout it out. You go ahead and shout it out. All right. Santa is what I think I heard. I'm not sure what I heard, but Santa is the word that is going to be used often today. The word Santa begins with S. Now, today, whenever you hear the word Santa, I want you to think of a different word that begins with S. I want you to think of people who saw Jesus when he was born. Do you children know who I'm thinking of? What? Shepherds. I heard that very clearly. Shepherds saw Jesus. All right? The word shepherd begins with S. And today, we're going to learn how the shepherds were drawn close to Jesus. Throughout Advent, we've been learning about people who were drawn to Jesus when he was born. Today, we're going to focus on the shepherds. As we focus on the shepherds, I'm going to give four more words that begin with the letter S. So, whenever you hear the word Santa, I hope the letter S quickly brings to mind the shepherds. And then I hope you think of the four S words that I'm going to give you about the shepherds. And children, maybe you can play a little game with your parents today and see how many of the four S words you remember about the shepherds. All right, our passage about the shepherds is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I invite you to open your Bibles to that, Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 8 through 20. And I invite you to stand for the Word of God if you're able. Here at First Church, we stand for the reading in honor of God. We recognize that this is His holy Word to us. And we read, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Let's bow together in prayer. Father God Almighty, thank you for your word which records for us what happened long ago when Jesus was born. May your word open our hearts and minds today to who you are and how you draw people close to you. And may we worship you as the shepherds did. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. The first S word that I give you concerning the shepherds is the word shock. Shock, the shock of the shepherds as to what happened. In our passage, we are told that they were keeping watch over their sheep by night. So it would have been very dark. because there were no flashlights. Pastor Matt brought a flashlight. There were no flashlights then. There were no street lights. There were no city lights. The only light the shepherds had at night was the light of a flame, a fire. Suddenly, an angel appeared, and we are told the glory of the Lord shone around them. I wonder what that looked like. I wonder how bright the sky and the area around them became. We have good reason to believe the area around the shepherds was brightly lit up. For the book of Revelation tells us that when Jesus comes again, when he comes the second time to usher in the new heaven and the new earth, the light of the sun will no longer be needed. Revelation 21, verse 23 says, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." The glory of God gives light. I therefore conclude that the area around the shepherds lit up dramatically. That's one of the reasons the shepherds are shocked, for frightened. Light is shocking when you're not ready for it, and your eyes are not adjusted. And more shocking things happened as well that night. We read next that the angel told them good news. The angel told them a Savior had been born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. That would have been a very exciting news for the shepherds, because the title Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. Both words mean anointed one. So the angel was announcing that the promised Messiah of the line of David had been born in the city of David. That was by far the most important announcement that could be made to the Jewish people. And even though the world didn't understand it, it was the most important announcement that could be made to the world. And the shepherds were hearing that announcement from an angel. That was surely shocking for the shepherds. And that's not all. After the shepherds heard the announcement from the one angel, we are told a multitude of heavenly hosts appeared who gave praise to God. I wonder what it sounded like to hear them praise God. It must have been spectacular. The angels are well practiced at praising God, for they have been doing so ever since creation. Everything about this visit from the angel and then the multitude of angels was shocking for the shepherds. And dear friends, as we read of this historical event, as we read about this in God's holy word, we too should be shocked. No matter how many times we have heard of the birth of Jesus, we should be in awe of what God has done. We should be shocked about this. What we are celebrating today is more amazing than adjectives can convey. Think about it. The one true living God who made all things by His spoken word, the one who formed us out of the dust of the ground, the one who breathed life into us, the one who upholds all things by His sovereign power, the one who has no beginning, no end, is infinite in every way, He became a man. He developed inside a womb and was born just like all of us. He had to be held and fed by His mother, just like all of us had to be. There is no other news more shocking than that, is there? This is truly staggering. God in a womb. God a baby. Every Christmas, we should let the shock of the news fuel our worship of Jesus. Remember the word shock. It's a very appropriate word for Christmas. Second, remember the word sign. That's the second S word, sign. In verse 12, we hear the angel give the shepherds a sign. The angel said, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Have you ever wondered why the angel gave that sign? What is that sign all about? I submit to you, the sign was very practical. I submit to you, the sign was given to help the shepherds find Jesus. Think about it. It was night. People were in their homes. The angel couldn't give a GPS location. I didn't even think the angel could give an address. We're not told the angel did. So how were the shepherds supposed to find a baby in Bethlehem? Picture this in your minds with me. Let's say you are working out in your almond field at night without any light, all right? You're keeping watch over the almond trees, making sure they're okay. You're out there at night giving your almond trees loving care, all right? You farmers do that, I'm sure you do, right? And let's say that there's no light anywhere, all right? There's no such thing as the internet. There's no telephone. There's no city lights. And suddenly, an angel shows up and says to you, "A baby has been born in Ripon." And you're in an almond field nearby Ripon. A baby has been born in Ripon. A baby you want to see. But that's all you're told. A baby has been born in Ripon. That's all you're told. How long would it take you to find the baby? I mean, how would you know if it was the right baby? It would not be an easy task to find the baby in Ripon, right? You know, what are you going to do? You know, just start knocking on doors randomly? You know, was there a baby born here? That would take a long time. It would be a hard task. But look at what our text says, verses 15 and 16. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They found the baby with haste. How did they do that? The answer I submit to you is the sign. They found the baby lying in a manger. The sign was something the shepherds could easily follow because the sign involved a manger. Here's what a well-known Greek English lexicon says about the Greek word translated manger: a box or crib where animals feed. Feed box, manger, crib, or possibly even an open feeding place under the sky. A manger was a feeding trough for animals, like sheep, something shepherds knew about. It's very interesting to consider where this manger Joseph and Mary used was located. There are three main theories about that. One theory is that it was part of the home of a relative. That theory has to do with the Greek word translated inn. A second theory is that it was a stable connected to the inn where guests kept their animals. And the third theory is that the manger was in a shepherd's cave. I'm convinced that third theory is correct. Consider with me for a moment what this passage doesn't say about the place the baby Jesus was laid. The passage doesn't say anything about an innkeeper. An innkeeper has played a big part in many modern-day portrayals of the birth of Jesus, but there's no mention of an innkeeper in the Bible. The only mention of an inn is in verse 7. And here's what that verse says: "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Now, this passage doesn't say anything about an innkeeper providing for them a stable connected to the inn. All it says is that there was no room in the inn. Now, consider with me for a moment what that might mean. The statement leaves wide open the possibility that Joseph and Mary did not stay in a room connected to the inn. They may have, but another strong possibility is that they didn't stay in a room connected to the inn. Think about this with me. If I wrote you a letter about a family displaced because of fires in California, and I wrote in the letter, quote, "The family stayed in a shelter because there was no room in the hotel." Now, what picture would you have in mind from that sentence? Would you picture in your mind the hotel owner leading the family to some sort of covered shelter connected to the hotel? I don't think many of us would. From that sentence, we would picture the family leaving the hotel, finding a shelter. We would picture them going to a school gymnasium or some other place set up like a shelter because there was no room in the hotel. When there's no room in the hotel, you got to go somewhere else. And we can easily understand the Gospel of Luke the same way. The inn was full. So Joseph and Mary found something else. Now, what else could they have found? Well, the oldest theory is that Joseph and Mary stayed in a cave used by shepherds. This theory goes all the way back to a writer in the second century named Justin Martyr, who was a philosopher and a famous defender of the Christian faith. He lived from 100 to 165 AD. And another early Christian writer named Origen also held this view. Around Bethlehem, there were caves shepherds would use for warmth and for protection. In the cave was a manger, a stone box, a trough for feeding the sheep. The theory is Joseph and Mary found such a cave, or someone led them to such a cave, and laid baby Jesus in that feeding trough in the cave. The cave may have been very near the place where the shepherds were watching their sheep. Some believe that the shepherds may have been watching over sheep that would soon be used for sacrifice. I find that theory very convincing, not only because it's the oldest theory, but because it makes complete sense of the sign given to the shepherds. We can easily understand how the shepherds went in haste and had no problem finding Jesus. The sign led them right to him so they could worship him. Now, as you think about that sign given to the shepherds, please realize that God is still graciously leading people to Jesus so they can worship him. The Holy Spirit, through his inspired written word, is doing so. Right this very moment, God, through his word, is leading us to worship Jesus. He's doing so for our joy. He's doing so for our salvation. Now, concerning the shepherds being shocked with the announcement and the shepherds being given a sign that led them right to Jesus, have you ever wondered why shepherds were given such an amazing invitation to worship the baby Jesus? Out of all the people in the area of Bethlehem, why were some shepherds out in the field given the privilege of hearing this news from the angel and then seeing the baby Jesus? That's an important question. And I'm going to call the answer the significance of the shepherds. Significance, that's the next S word. When you consider the fact that God invited the wise men and the shepherds, you see that God draws all people to worship Jesus, both dignitaries from other nations and lowly Jewish shepherds. He calls all people to worship him. That's part of the significance of the shepherds, but the shepherds have far more significance than that. We're going to learn about their greater significance by turning to the prophet Micah. In the fifth chapter of his prophecy, the prophet Micah gives this well-known prophecy. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." We know from the Gospel of Matthew that the Jewish priests knew this prophecy. When the wise men spoke to Herod, Herod asked the chief priests, "Where is the Christ to be born?" And they knew the answer. In answer, the chief priest said, "In Bethlehem." And then they quoted this verse from Micah. So the prophecy was well known when Jesus was born, and it's still well known today. Now, this verse is not all Micah wrote. Look at the next three verses of Micah. I'm going to add them to the screen. Here are the next three verses following the verse about Bethlehem. "Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Not only did Micah say that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, Micah said Jesus would shepherd his people. Micah said the one to be born would make his people secure. He would give them peace. He would shepherd his people just like a shepherd makes the sheep secure and gives them peace. He would shepherd his people. That's an image mentioned by other Old Testament passages as well. For instance, Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." And Jesus himself mentions the image. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11, we hear Jesus declare one of his great I am statements. We hear Jesus say, quote, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Dear friends, when you know these verses, and other verses as well, it makes perfect sense why shepherds were invited to worship Jesus. At the birth of Jesus, you have shepherds bowing down and worshiping the good shepherd who came to save his people by laying down his life. And concerning the laying down of his own life, remember what John the Baptist said, quote, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world," the baby Jesus, who is laid in a feeding trough for sheep, probably in a shepherd's cave, would not only be the good shepherd, Jesus himself would be the Lamb of God who would offer his own life for the sheep. Therefore, it makes perfect sense that shepherds were invited to worship Jesus, the Lamb born to save, the one who would be the good shepherd. It's beautiful that shepherds were gathered around that manger worshiping him. Dear friends, if you're doubtful about Jesus, doubt no longer. Notice this beautiful prophecy about him. Notice who Jesus is. Bow your knee to him. Worship him as the shepherds did. It's very significant that the shepherds were invited to see the baby Jesus. Significant is the third S word, and the fourth and final S word is the word spread. The spread of the good news by the shepherds. The shepherds could not keep to themselves what they had heard, what they had seen. They knew everyone needed to hear this good news. Verse 17 of our text says, "And when they, the shepherds, saw it, saw the manger with the baby Jesus, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." Not only were the shepherds worshipers of Jesus, they were witnesses for Jesus. They wanted others to know and enjoy this good news. That should be our response as well. And dear Christians, we have far more reason to respond in that way. For we know a lot more about Christ Jesus than the shepherds did. We know the miracles Jesus performed. We know all the truth and the promises Jesus proclaimed. We know he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We know that he said, whoever believes in me will have life. And we know what Jesus did for us. We know he wore a crown of thorns. We know he was mocked and spat on. We know he was crucified. We know that he bore the wrath of God for our sins. And wonderfully, we know Jesus conquered the grave, rose again, appeared to his disciples, ascended heaven. We know he's coming again. We know he's building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Dear Christians, we know so much more about the good news than the shepherds did. Therefore, we have all the more reason to spread the good news. And we should enter into 2020 doing so. As we continue to sing this morning, set your hearts and minds on that, on spreading this good news. First, we're going to sing about the angels and the shepherds, and then we're going to sing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." May we leave here with the commitment to spread the good news to others like the shepherds did. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for leading the shepherds to worship Jesus. Thank you for leading us to worship Jesus. And thank you for giving us all that we need to go out and spread the good news to others. May we do so now and always unto your glory and honor. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.